When I say gaming, you might think I'm talking about video games. But it turns out that even in the tech-savvy San Francisco Bay Area, there's a lot of excitement right now about board games, like old-school board games. Sonia Paul of KALW reports.
These days, the Bay Area is known mostly as a techie destination, but it also has a long history with analog gaming. Several dozen social board gaming groups exist in the region. Take this Saturday in San Francisco. Members of the Euro Gaming League, who focus on playing European strategy games, hosted an all-day event to celebrate International Tabletop Day. About 30 people are spread out among round and rectangular tables inside the community room of a local church. They play games that can last anywhere from several minutes to several hours.
My name is Linda Herbert. I teach kindergarten, and I live in Montera.
Montera is a small city on the California coast, about an hour away from San Francisco. And Herbert is the first to say she doesn't fit the gamer stereotype.
I'm older than everybody by at least 20 years.
She says she's close to 70.
I'm female. There aren't a lot more female board game players now, but you can see it's pretty much male-dominated.
Several years ago, her brother introduced her to Settlers of Catan, the European strategy game first released in 1995. She says it was a gateway game for her. And so Herbert began traveling all over, trying to find a gaming group that spoke to her.
I have a sister that lives in San Jose. I play games in San Jose and then go visit my sister. When I go on trips, I go on Meetup and try to find game players wherever I go.
Whether it's through meetup.com or groups that organize on Facebook and Instagram, weekly, monthly, or off-the-cuff game nights take place at hobby stores, restaurants, and even landmarks like San Francisco's Ferry Building. Tabletop conventions and charitable fundraisers are also key players in this scene. But game designer Ali Hajigafori admits how some non-gamers wouldn't see the point.
Amazing outlet for that, tabletop gaming, because of the assumption that, oh, it's for nerds, it's too difficult, or they think of it only as the Monopolies and the Unos that are just for kids, so to speak.
But geeky has become cool, and the industry's economic rise is hardly kid stuff. These board and card games aren't considered toys, but hobby games. The trade magazine ICV2 found sales of hobby games in North America reached almost $1.2 billion in 2015. 2016 also marked the eighth year in a row the hobby games industry grew. And that rising popularity is not just about playing these games. It's around creating new ones, too.
What happens if these two were to get into a fight?
You probably hit me for nothing and I hit you for one.
Right.
That's probably
sad for me. It's Designer Night at Victory Point Cafe in Berkeley, the first designated board game cafe in the Bay Area. Every month, local game designers gather here to see how they can improve their game ideas by playtesting prototypes with cafe customers who give feedback. The goal for many of them is to develop the skeleton of a game that's ready to fund on Kickstarter.
Kickstarter has really warped the tabletop industry.
Teal Fristo is a game designer and publisher.
And it's done so because creating a tabletop game requires a lot of upfront investment. It doesn't take a lot to create the idea and figure out how the game will work. What costs a lot is producing the game at a high enough quality that you can sell it.
Kickstarter's popular games category has raised more than $630 million in crowdsourcing money since it launched in 2009. When you break it down, it's clear what kind of games are in the lead. A company spokesperson reports that last year, video games and related hardware raised almost $18 million on Kickstarter. But tabletop games raise more than five times as much, over $101 million. One reason for this, Fristo says, is that people are tired of the screens and devices that already dominate many of our lives.
So tabletop games provide that non-screen and social gaming experience. And yeah, so what you get is a lot of people who are really excited about games and they realize they can make them themselves, unlike making a video game, which requires a lot of technical expertise.
Plus, the games are evolving. Designers now often gamify current events and social issues.
As much as the swap was annoying, this now means we can build a large area and it will never be a square.
Oh, that's true.
Elliot Miller is here playtesting a game he developed about conservation, which was inspired by a local museum exhibit.
It's about balancing the needs of cities with conservation and trying to juggle both of them as like a city planner.
If the gaming trend keeps going, the Bay Area may soon be known as a startup hub for tabletop design as much as it is for tech. As Dutch cultural historian Johan Huizinga once argued, new cultures manifest in play. For Here and Now, I'm Sonia Paul.